Welcome, my friends, to Generation Psychic Radio, exploring the spiritual, paranormal, and psychic realms. Come join me, your host, psychic medium Becca Boyd, as we walk between the worlds. Welcome to Generation Psychic Radio. I'm so excited about this week. This is the second radio show that I've done, number two. First one I was really excited about. Second week I'm even more excited because we have a new segment to bring to you this week, and it's going to follow every week after. We have the Diva of Divination. Her name is Lori, and she's going to be bringing us a new divination technique every week. A lot of them you're not going to have heard about. We also have on as a guest tonight Katie Boyd, demonologist, occult sciences expert, and occult crimes expert, as well as an author who's going to be talking about her latest book, Haunted Closets, which is due out in April, and it's all about the true tales of the boogeyman. So I'm really, really woohoo about that. All right, but before we get into all of that, I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit heated. I need to rant, just a little, okay? So bear with me. Earlier this week, my group Ghost Quest answered a call from a client who claimed paranormal activity occurred frequently in her home. She was a mother of three, and my team members put a priority on it, as we always do with cases involving kids. I mean, you know, you gotta make sure that they're protected. When you hear that a child is being, you know, tormented, you know, crying all the time, having all these issues, you know, you gotta put them on priority. So we got into the house and saw that the woman was smiling, giggling, and just seemed excited to see us and have us there. And we were happy about that. A lot of times we do get that response when people have been suffering from a haunting for an extended period of time. You know, they feel a little bit of release when they see help. As I started my walkthrough, which I do on every investigation, she started asking me questions about her boyfriend, her possibilities of marriage, and her wanting to get pregnant again, and if she was going to. There was nothing negative in the house from what I could feel, and we never made it past the kitchen. You know, we quickly realized the torment her child was suffering from was nightmares, and that all she cared about was pinning me down for a free read while I was there. Then, come to find out, she had no issue telling us her boyfriend was taking illegal drugs and painkillers. When previously asked by one of the crew members, you know, she had said there was no drugs in the home, no illegal drugs in the home, and that the strongest thing they used was Tylenol. There was only a 2-year-old there at the time, and we explained where to go to get help for him and his nightmares, but his mom didn't really seem to give two craps, and all she cared about was her reading. But that isn't the point. The point is, when a psychic medium comes in on an investigation, they are not there to give free readings about love, marriage, pregnancy, or whatever. They are there to identify points of extreme energy, activity, and to help the spirits. They are a tool for the paranormal investigator. I'm not there to be an evening's entertainment for people. And I know for other paranormal groups out there, we take our work seriously. When I refused to give her the info she wanted, she even went to the point of saying she could pay me for the reading there and then. On a frickin' investigation, people. Okay? I know I'm not the only one who has run into this issue. Authors, paracelebs, and other mediums have talked about this with me in the past, as well as other paranormal groups. That being said, I'm never one to go on a rant and complain without having some form of solution. And this specifically has to do with psychics. When talking to your client, ask them if they have seen a psychic in the last 6 months. If they have, how many times? There is an addiction to psychics, okay? And it's your job to identify this as you are bringing the psychic in as the tool, okay? And this woman turned out she was addicted to psychics. She had seen like 3 or 4 psychics in the last 3 months. You know, unfortunately, it's hard to tell 100% of the time, and I know all we want to do is help. As the paranormal community, you know, we are basically using each individual haunting as part of our case study, you know, as data collection and what have you. But, you know, in the meantime, we're also trying to help these people. And it breaks my heart to have to see, you know, these other people abuse, you know, what we do, you know, just to get their rocks off. The whole point is it's just frustrating, you know, when you take something so seriously and find out you are the night's entertainment, okay? That's my rant for the night and for the week, I think. I'm done. Anyway, so next up we have Lori Gibson, and you know what? I'm just going to bring her on. All right. She's a divinationist out of Salem, Massachusetts, where she works. And I'm really excited to talk to her tonight. Lori, you there?
Hi, Becca.
Hey. So, Lori, how long have you been working as a psychic?
For about 20 years now.
Oh, my gosh, 20
long
years.
Long time.
Yeah, that is a long time. And in that time, you know, what made you fall in love with divination? What first intrigued you about that?
Quick and easy was the first thing that got me attracted to any form of divination, really, when you think about it. It's just simple. It's easy to teach, which I enjoy doing. And one of the major things that drew me to the pendulum was my love of stones.
Yeah.
Has been basically most of them are made of different stones. And being a collector, that was like one of the top things for me.
Right. And the pendulum's the one that you're going to cover for your first segment ever?
Yes.
Now, I know that you do have your own psychic consultations business. And I believe that's at lorriegibson.com. LorrieGibson.com. And I'm actually going to let you go ahead and just kind of take it away, Lori, with your segment, My Diva of Divination. Go for it.
Thank you, Becca. Hi, this is Lori, your divinational diva, here with your weekly 5-minute divination technique. Tonight we'll be talking about the pendulum, one of the fastest and easiest ways to get the answers you seek. But first, a little history. The pendulum can be traced back to the ancient Egyptians. Records show that they used the pendulum to irrigate their fields and dig wells. They also used the pendulum to build many of the beautiful structures that still stand today, like the Great Pyramids. The pendulum is still used for these purposes, along with getting the answers you seek to those pressing little questions you might have between your psychic consultations. Pendulums are usually made of stone, but you can make your own out of basic string and a common ring. Once you get the hang out of it, you will find yourself using it for the simplest questions like weather, for example. You can also use your pendulum to find lost objects, or some people even use the pendulum to douse over food in supermarkets or restaurants to make sure that they won't have an allergic reaction. Now, how to use the pendulum. First, you will ask the pendulum which direction will be a yes. Mine is vertical, and the opposite direction will be a no. That is horizontal for me. My yes ring is always going to be the same way no matter what pendulum I use, along with the no will be the same direction. If my pendulum swings in a circle or a diagonal direction, I either have to rephrase the question or ask it again. Now remember, the pendulum can only answer yes or no questions. It works off the vibration in your body, so it does not have a mind of its own. Once you get the swing down, you'll be on your way to developing a great divinational technique that will last you a lifetime.
Thank you so much, Lori. That was absolutely awesome and so informative. I have to ask you, how many pendulums do you own?
Oh, I think I'm up to about 100 now, Becca.
Really?
Yeah.
And how many different stones, or do you kind of stick with the same ones?
Oh, no, I don't stick with the same one. I probably every stone that is known to man, but the one that I use the most is always a clear quartz because it's like an amplifier.
Really?
Yeah, anything you basically use the pendulum for, you want to make sure you answer the quick and right to the point in where I had said in the segment that it basically works off the energies or the vibration in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Quartz crystal is known as the great amplifier, so it just makes it more powerful.
Right, right. And I know, you know, one thing that I've noticed, you know, talk a little bit about hauntings, is with quartz crystal, if you have it around and you're having negative emotions or you're having activity, quartz can actually amplify the issue as it is.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes sense that that would be one of the easiest stones to use if, you know, the pendulum does indeed work off of your vibration, because it would amplify. Okay. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us for this segment. You know, I can't wait for the next one. I know that you're going to pull something really cool out of your hat.
It will be a surprise.
It will. It's going to be a surprise to all the listeners and to me. So it'll be very interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will be back with our guest, Katie Boyd, demonologist, occult sciences expert, occult crimes expert, and author. Stay tuned.
your lights on. Put your lights on. Hey now, all your lovers, put your lights on. Put your lights on.
Listening to Generation Psychic Radio with Becca Boyd, that's me, and I have a wonderful guest for us tonight. Her name is Katie Boyd. She's a demonologist, occult sciences and crimes expert, and author. You with us, Katie?
I'm here, Becca.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm actually doing really good. After my rant, I feel like I got all that, you know, negative energy out, and you know, now I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, sent the message out there.
No, I actually want to, you know, say a couple of things about that.
Yeah.
I was there with you. Our paranormal group, and not even our paranormal group, but, you know, like most other groups out there, like, you know, and Becca and myself, You know, we don't churn anybody away. We actually postpone other cases, you know, due for the fact that this was a child was involved in this case. We had to drive all the way down there, which was a little ways away, and come to find out, you know, this woman just, you know, wanted to be in the presence of a psychic and learn about her love life and, you know, her sex life and things like that.
I know. And that, you know, to me,
that's frustrating.
It is. It's so, you know, disrespectful to what we do.
I totally agree with your little rant because I saw it firsthand. And, you know, we never made it past the kitchen. That was correct.
I know. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we didn't even get to go upstairs. Nothing. We didn't even get a chance to pull out our equipment. It was like boom, 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 boom. I was so upset after that. And I know that, you know, when we were in the car on the way back,
we swore a lot.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Well, you know, the thing is, you know, you and I both know, you know, I have the radio show, I have the taroscopes, I have, you know, my business and everything else. And so time is short. And when we do have the time,
right,
you know, to attend to these cases, we want to make sure it's people who really need it.
Exactly.
And the way that I understand it, when this woman called, it sounded like she really needed it.
Yeah, but you don't know. You don't know if the client, you know, I mean, we're very skeptical as it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't believe what anybody says unless I see the solid proof. But that was just one of those frustrating cases. And, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Now, out away from that, because I want to get away from that negative crap.
Yep.
You know me. Deal with it. Move on. Anyway, so you have a book coming out in April entitled Haunted Closets. And if anybody's friends with you on Facebook, most likely they've seen the cover as you keep it as your icon, as well as on, you know, Skype like this.
Uh-huh.
I'm really excited. See, one of the benefits of working with Katie is I get to read all her books ahead of time. So I got to read Haunted Closets. And let me tell you, it's
boy.
A good book. It's a really good book. You cover a heck of a lot in there.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. Like you do with every book, Devils and Demonology, for instance. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was so much stuff in there, you know, about like absolutely everything under the sun. Things that, you know, as a demonologist, you have to think about. Medical, psychological, mm-hmm. historical.
Yeah. Exactly. The Haunted Closets book is kind of like the same, like you were saying, the same kind of format as Devils and Demonology. I really go in depth about growing up in a severe haunted house. I go into detail about the nightmares I used to have every night, the entity that I call Fireface, things that my mother and my father went through, you know, having the local priest come a couple times a month. It's a part of me that a lot of people actually don't get to hear or read about me.
Right.
Because I'm a very, very personal person when it comes to, you know, that particular subject, growing up, you know, in that severe haunted house and how it tore my family apart. Writing it was very, very difficult, that particular chapter, because I recently, not too long ago, found out my father had passed.
Right.
So, and, you know, I do write a lot about him and what my father went through and things like that. So, like you said, all my books do have some form of, like, medical coverage in it. This particular Haunted Closets book, I do go in depth of night terrors, nightmares, sleeping disorders. There's a lot of surprises in this book.
Yeah, there are, you know, but before we get into anything else, I'd like to talk to you a little bit, because, mm-hmm. you know, you do go into full detail mm-hmm. with your haunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you could write a whole book on that on itself. But the thing that I have to ask is, when you were growing up, did you mm-hmm. think you had a boogeyman?
Oh, absolutely.
And what led you to believe that?
Well, you know, I know, like in my Devils and Demonology book, I do kind of cover a little bit about what I experienced and what my first experience that I could recall. And it was actually in my brother's bedroom, which later on in life became my bedroom.
Right.
And my brother and I were actually playing, he had twin beds in his bedroom, and we were actually playing beside the other twin bed that was kind of towards the wall, and there was this huge gap between the bed and the wall. So my brother and I were playing with, like, you know, some Star Wars figures and Matchbox cars, and, you know, we had like the little garages and things like that. So we were, you know, really into it. And for some odd reason, out of the blue, I literally churned and I looked into my brother, you know, across the room, looked at into the doorway, and there was this burnt large figure standing there in the doorway. And I just started screaming at the top of my lungs and running. Just
oh my
running.
Gosh.
I mean, I even as a, you know, an adult, you know, I could still see him plain as day.
And how old were you again?
I was around 5 or 6.
Oof, 5 or 6 years old. That's tough.
Yep. There was no, he was just this large figure, completely burnt, no detail, no hair, couldn't see the eyes, fingernails. You couldn't see anything like that. I mean, that isn't even, that was just the tip of the iceberg.
Right. And you said that you ran out?
I ran. I started screaming and it was like completely black. Literally, when you are so scared to death, you don't recall from like that second to second.
Blinding fear. Yeah.
Exactly. The blinding fear.
Did you ever tell people?
Well, I actually ran right into my mother because I was screaming so loud. She came running around the corner of the hallway. I literally slammed right into my mother.
Oh, my gosh. What did she say?
Well, her first thing was, you know, what did my brother do? what did my brother do to me this time? Or, you know what I mean? It wasn't like that at all. But it started, the activity actually started progressing more and more. The lights in certain areas would turn on and off. The doors would open and close. There was so much, and I actually go really in detail, in depth about my nightmares, the closet door.
Ooh, the closet. Okay, wait, no. See, you said closet door.
Uh-huh.
Right? Your book is Haunted Closets. We need to talk about the closet door, honey.
That's a whole other book itself.
No, but I want to know about the closet
door. Okay, to make a very, very long story, very, very short. Okay. There I was, all right? A few years later, after I had my experience in my brother's room,
right,
my mother decided, well, you know, Katie's getting a little older, and I think she needs a larger room. And so she moved all my brother's stuff out, put him in the smaller bedroom, and me in the bigger bedroom.
He got the crappy end of the stick.
But my brother actually didn't, because he got the room that actually nothing ever happened.
Well, that's true.
And I got the room where everything seemed to start from.
Right.
Okay. And every night I would literally sleep with the sheet and the puff over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my mother, I would be like, can you make sure the closet door is really nice and tight? And the closet door never opened during the day or anything, nothing. Mm-hmm. And at a certain time, every single night, the closet door would open, and then there would be foot. You could literally hear these footsteps come closer and closer to the bed.
Right.
And I would keep the sheet on. Every once in a while, sometimes I would, you know, be a little brave, and I'd whip the sheet to try to see if I could catch him, you know, catch the boogeyman.
Right.
And there was never anybody there. Sometimes I would experience somebody literally sitting on the edge of my bed,
mm-hmm.
breathing really deep. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd see people in the hallway, because exactly where my bed was, like where you rest your head on your pillow, I could see right out into the hallway.
Oof.
And I mean, you know, there's so much that I do cover. Like I said, this is just a very, very brief. It's, you know, like I said, I go really in depth about my story, but that's not even the whole book. I mean, that's just a tiny little chapter.
I know. I know. There's so much to talk about, and we've got only a limited amount of time to do it in. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's move on to the next part then. You do talk about, kind of like you did in Devils and Demonology, you had, you know, evil spirits and demons from around the world. You talk
exactly.
about the boogeyman and, you know, his or her showing up in different cultures and in their myth. Why don't
yep.
you tell me a little bit about that?
That's right. I actually go really in depth about the boogeyman in different cultures, such as Japanese cultures, Russia, American, just to name a few. I mean, I cover more than that.
Yeah. And there was one myth I got to tell you that really interested me,
uh-huh.
and it was a factoid that you kind of just threw in there, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. There was a boogeyman called, what was it, Rawhead and Bloody Bones, yeah.
Yeah.
And how he actually inspired the Jolly Roger that's seen on the pirate flag, you know, the skull and crossbones symbol. I thought that was wicked cool. I was like, oh my God. So every time I think of pirates now, I think of the boogeyman. Which I guess isn't a bad thing. I mean, pirates wanted to scare you, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But one of the other things that you do address that is really, really important to me anyway is, you know, the nightmares and night terrors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Only because I had my own boogeyman, and you never really know if what you experienced was really real or if it was a nightmare or night terror. Is there any way to tell the difference, you know, between an actual experience and a nightmare or night terror?
Absolutely there is. We do a lot of cases where sometimes sleeping disorders are the main reason that the person is actually thinking they're experiencing a haunting.
Right.
But when it comes to, you know, especially younger kids, little kids, things like that, night terrors are pretty much hereditary throughout the family. Night terrors usually occur within the first hours of sleep.
Okay.
Okay. And the way that you can tell, especially if your child is having night terrors, is they kind of like do this like thrashing around in their bed. You try to wake them up and they're not responding very quickly. Kind of like when you have a nightmare and your parents run in and wake you up and you're like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Wow.
Yeah, it's an immediate awareness when it's a nightmare.
Exactly. And the other thing is when a child has a night terrors and you try to wake your child up, and when they finally get to that awake state, they don't really remember it. They don't remember the feelings of fear or, you know, what the night terror was about. Versus like nightmares. Children, adults, we all have nightmares from time to time. And some of them are very vague and some of them you remember for your whole life.
Right.
Okay, but the thing is with night terrors, you know, there's really not a cure mm-hmm. for night terrors. You know, in rare cases, they will treat a child or an adult that has night terrors with diazepam. But these are rare cases of the most severe night terrors.
Say, you know, the parents are out here there and they're listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their child is suffering from night terrors or nightmares. Mm-hmm. What can somebody do to help their child deal with that? I mean, because even though the child may not remember it,
right?
You know, it's got to be a scary experience, you know, for the parent.
Right. Well, one of the things that the parents can do is after several hours of the child sleeping,
mm-hmm.
You can go in there and just, you know, nonchalant try to wake your child up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that way they're not going to go into that state and they're going to experience the night terrors.
So it's almost like resetting the brain.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And so when you say several hours, do you mean like, you know, between like 1 and 4 hours?
A few hours.
Yeah.
You know, two to 3 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. And when when you're waking your child or, you know, the adult, but it's more in children that have night terrors, just make sure, you know, you give your child that love and assurance that everything is fine.
Right.
You know, so, but I do cover a lot more about it actually in my book.
I know you do. You have a lot of detail in your book, which I really
That's what everybody always says. You know, you write so much information in such a smaller book. And I'm like, well, you know, that's what I do.
There's a heck of a lot in like 170 pages or 160. The other thing with haunted closets too is you delve into not just the myth and the legend,
right.
but you delve into the people.
Real. What I cover in this haunted closets book, okay, is literally like the different cultures of the boogeyman, you know, from around the world, different types of sleeping disorders, real cases that, you know, I've dealt with involving children and the boogeyman. Mm-hmm. I cover serial killers that were notorious, known as the boogeyman. Okay. I also cover fictional characters of our favorite boogeyman people out there on the TV. Oh, I also cover, I know, right? There's a lot. I also cover another chapter about portals and vortexes, doorways to, you know, basically other dimensions that, you know, spirits or, you know, other beings come through.
Okay, hold on. So talking about, you know, putting in cases that involve children, do you feel that on any of your investigations you've actually met a boogeyman?
I think nowadays, okay, and I'm going to put this out there. I think nowadays, especially with the cases that I've dealt with, they've been spirits.
Right.
Not necessarily the boogeyman. I think, you know, especially in the American culture, I think the boogeyman is kind of fading out.
Right.
The myths, like you're not telling your kid, you know, hey, if you don't eat your peas, you know, the boogeyman's going to get you like they used to do way back when. You know, like we've done a lot of cases where the children are seeing monsters in their bedroom and come to find out, you know, somebody, you know, hung themselves in an area that's now the closet. Mm-hmm. And that's why their hair in the bang certain time every night or the closet, you know, doors opening up. Also, I do cover about alien abductions because a lot of people who claim to be abducted actually, you know, a lot of it stems from the closet. The closet opens up, the bright lights, beings coming from the, you know, coming out of the closet. I put a lot of signs what to look for if you feel you're actually, you know, experienced an alien abduction. So lots of stuff.
That's a heck of a lot.
It is, but you know, with my books, my whole purpose, you know, as an author is educating people. If you can take away something you didn't know from my books, you know, that's a little more in your little tool belt, you know, to defend yourself with, especially working in the paranormal.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I mean, you know, not for nothing. The paranormal, they have a lot of information coming out all at once. But I think it's a matter of sifting through the information. It's kind of like spirituality to me, which is, you know, you take what fits and you leave the rest.
Exactly.
So, you know, if they may not say, okay, well, you know what, I buy into the whole, you know, the boogeyman does exist thing.
Sure.
You know, they may take, you know, from your book, a certain sleeping disorder, psychological disorder, and go, you know what, I can use that.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what matters. That's the whole purpose of putting the information out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I write books. I know that's why you write books.
Exactly.
You know? And I think that's...
Go ahead.
And not only that, but the boogeyman's just freaking cool.
let me tell you, writing this, I mean, I do have to admit, you know, I mean, especially, you know, growing up in such a haunted house, writing about the boogeyman itself was very, very tweaky. So, I mean... this book, like you said, it has a lot of information. It has a lot of great stuff in it. It was a little tweaky for me, especially, you know, covering some of the parts of the different boogeymen in different cultures. Japanese, that was a little tweaky to me. Some of those boogeymen in their myths and things.
Lord.
But
let me tell you, okay, and I'm not talking to just you, Kate. I'm talking to everybody out there.
Yeah.
The Japanese, from what I read in your book, have this boogeyman.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it's in this, you know, specific province or area. And, you know, basically the whole deal, from my understanding, was, you know, these demons, as it were, came down from a mountain and wanted to, you know, eat people or something like that. And, you know, they said, well, the people said, well, if you can build 1,000 stairs in one night, then was it, we'll give you somebody every year or something like that. And they said, okay. So they went ahead and they set to work. Well, the night hadn't quite passed and somebody saw that the dawn was coming and they had one stair left. So somebody crowed like a rooster and they thought they lost and went back up to the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every year they come back. And I'm not kidding you. They have a whole ritual around it.
Uh-huh.
They have a whole thing around it. I mean, they have their own day. It's everything. And every year they come back and they will go from house to house, all right? And they will check with the parents. The parents have to give an offering and, you know, to kind of appease.
They have to convince them that their child is worthy to stay.
Yeah, well-behaved. You know, they have to make promises that they're going to be good next year, that they're going to, you know, do whatever the parents say and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And these guys, they're big, you know, and these are, Granted, they're purporting the boogeyman myth, you know, in their culture, because these are people dressed up.
Right.
That come down every year. But, man, I mean, the masks that they wear are huge. You know, the red ones are male, the blue ones are female.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like
very detailed, very detailed. But
oh, my God.
But it would scare me.
Well, they have fun scaring the crap out of kids. I mean,
they
I remember when you were writing this book, you had me watch a YouTube video of that.
Yep.
And they were at like a shopping mall or something with their drums, and they had, you know, the parents had brought the kids up to see them and everything, and
yep.
the kids were bawling.
Oh, they were screaming and crying. And
they can, but all you have to do is go onto YouTube and look up Namahage. That's what they're called. Namahage.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, seeing some of the ceremony and some of the things that they do, it's just, it's very interesting to see. I love looking into other cultures, so that's great. You know, but you've got, you know, you've got so much going on here, and, you know, I want to talk more with you, but we're going to have to take a small break first, and then we can come back and talk more about your book. And I also want to talk to you about your occult crimes cases. All right?
Sounds good.
All right, so just hold on the line. We'll be right back after this break.
Children, have you ever met the bogeyman before? No, of course you haven't, for you're much too good, I'm sure. Don't you be afraid of him if he should visit you. He's a great big coward, so I'll tell you what to do. Hush, 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 here comes the bogeyman. Don't let him come too close to you, he'll catch you if he can. Just pretend that you're a crocodile, and you will find that bogeyman will run away a mile. Say shoo, shoo, and stick him with a pin. Bogeyman will very nearly jump out of his skin. Say buzz, buzz, just like the wasp that stings. Bogeyman will think you are an elephant with wings. Hush, 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 here comes the bogeyman. Tell him you've got soldiers in your bed, for he will never guess that they are only made of lead. Say hush, hush, he'll think that you're asleep. If you make a lovely snore away, he'll softly creep. Sing this tune, you children, one and all. Bogeyman will run away, he'll think it's Henry Hall. When the shadows of the evening creep across the sky, and your mommy comes upstairs to sing a lullaby, tell her that the bogeyman no longer frightens you. Uncle Henry's very kindly told you what to do. Hush, 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 here comes the bogeyman. Don't let him come too close to you, he'll catch you if he can. Just pretend your teddy bear's a dog, then shout out, fetch him, Teddy, and he'll hop off like a frog. Pretend that you're a cat. He'll think you may scratch, and that will make him fall down flat. Just pretend he isn't really there. You will find that bogeyman will finish in thin air. Here's one way to catch him without fail. Just keep a little salt with you and put it on his tail.
And we're back from break. You're listening to Generation Psychic on Jackalope Radio. I am with Katie Boyd, demonologist, occult sciences expert, crimes expert, and author. We were talking before the break about the Namahage and how they like to scare the pants off little children in order to make them behave. And I know if I ever were faced with a Namahage at the age of like 6 or 7, I would probably cry and pee my panties. But I also want to talk about another subject that makes me pee my panties. And, and that is your occult crimes.
Wow. That was funny. I almost spit out my coffee on that.
And that is your occult crimes. Okay. I know that I have seen you in the papers once or twice up here in Manchester and in the New Hampshire area about what you've done. There was at one point some animal slaughters done on a certain walking trail up around here. And, you know, you were called in to identify whether or not it was something that was truly occult. And I mean occult, not a cult. But truly a cult or something that was, you know, just a bunch of kids screwing around. And, you know, I have to imagine that what you see, you know, during these times are pretty horrific.
Well, a lot of the work, like you said, that I do is local authorities and actual, you know, local media will call me in. I will actually look at the certain crime scene, you know, photographs, and actually give my opinion on who, what is doing this. Is it some type of, you know, sick individual out there? Is it somebody who is playing around with the darker side of magic that they shouldn't be messing with? Is it gangs? You know, because a lot of what people don't understand is a lot of gangs out there actually use occult symbols, but it actually means something totally different. You know, hey, you know, they'll use an occult symbol and it means, you know, come on over here and, you know, this is a good safe place to smoke marijuana. So a lot of people, you know, need to be aware of that.
The question I have is, how did you get into working with the police? How did you get into working with the local authorities in order to discover these things? Was it something where they found you or did you find them?
No, actually, they all come to me. I do have 21 years experience in occultism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also for many, 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 many years, I was actually a law enforcement officer.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So they kind of, you know, they want to go to somebody that actually, you know, has that knowledge under their belt. They know what they're talking about. I also have medical background. So that's another really good plus to have under your belt.
Right. And that's also, I think, part of what makes you a really unique and well-rounded demonologist.
A lot of people ask me that. What makes me different than, you know, all these other demonologists out there? And, you know, it's the word demonologist is really getting used very loosely out there in the paranormal, unfortunately. You know, it's not a fun job. It's something that found me. I didn't find it. I didn't decide I was going to grow up and be a demonologist or an occult sciences expert. You know, so people really need to be aware of that, okay? Unfortunately, you know, to be a demonologist, there really isn't something out there that, you know, stamp on a piece of paper saying, okay, you're the demonologist, you know, versus going to the police academy and getting certified as an officer, you know?
Right. Well, it's like getting certified for ghost hunting. I'm a certified ghost hunter. Okay,
oh,
great.
Hunt. That's a whole other show.
I know. I'm not doing it, but I won't open that can of worms. I swear. I only had one rant. I did my rant, right?
Exactly.
My rant tally's done for the day. So
exactly. But I think, you know, that's where a lot of people, when they hear the word occult in my title, they kind of, everybody tweaks a little bit, because I think too many people are what do you want to say? Uneducated about the subject.
Yeah, and I can agree with that. I mean, I've seen paranormal groups who said we're opening an occult division, and I think that's fabulous. But then they don't realize what they're talking about, because next thing you know, it's what do orbs mean? What do the color of orbs mean? I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Really?
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly. You know, you gotta know your stuff. You gotta know your stuff, because if you're out there claiming, you know, claiming to be anything, you know, a demonologist, a psychic, an occult crime specialist, anything like that, and you're called on to a real case and they really need your opinion, you need to know your crap.
Right. It's like they say, you know, if you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. And I just...
Absolutely.
You know, that's your... How do I put it? Your ranting, your you know, concerns are just like with mine.
Right,
I know that as a psychic, I've seen other psychics work out in the field. They don't know how to protect themselves. They don't know what they're tapping into. And that, you know, you get a lot of people who sit there and say, oh, well, you know, it's not good to bring a psychic in because, you know, a lot of times the reason why that is because the psychic doesn't know what to do. They don't, haven't been trained yet enough.
Well,
or they
see,
haven't
that,
had
this,
enough experience.
This is why it's great for you to have your show.
Yeah, right?
You know, it's just, it, you know, like, that's why I write books. I write books, you know, to try to reach those people out there that, you know, can learn something from it. You know, use my books as a resource, you know, for paranormal groups, people involved in the paranormal. You know, make them think.
Yep.
Wow.
Exactly.
It could be something, you know, other than a spirit. It could be, you know, too much, you know, Tylenol that someone took, or, you know, and they're having audio or you know, hallucinations, things like that. But the occult crime part of my work is, I don't know, you know, you need a bubble bath after that type of work. do you know what I mean? You know, I've seen things that you don't want to ever see.
Yeah.
You know,
I can imagine. I know that we've talked privately before about some of the things that you've been through and some of the things that you've seen on particular cases. And I know also that you have to sign confidentiality forms as well.
Exactly.
You know, depending on the case that you're working.
Yes.
But, you know, overall, I have to tell you, you know, being able to use your knowledge in such a wonderful way as to help, you know, catch people who are doing horrible things, mm-hmm. Whether it be in the name of a belief system or, you know, just for poops and giggles, you know, is marvelous. And I really commend you for that. I think that that's absolutely awesome that you're willing to brave that.
Oh,
you know?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I do know that you have the law enforcement background, that you were at one time a corrections officer, I believe. And, you know, one of the things that used to tell me, especially on being the demonologist, is, you know, you used to deal with evil during the day, and then, you know, at night too, it was all about that for you.
I used to, I work with demons all day long, and you know what I mean? Well, not work with them, but, you know, I deal with demons all day long, and then at nighttime, you know, I'm still dealing with demons.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I have to ask you, you know, about a year ago, you know, you left that job. Mm-hmm. In order to pursue this life, this education, this proactive, you know, stance that you have on demonology, on mm-hmm. occultism, and everything else. The thing I want to know is, do you feel that it's been worth it for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the money isn't as good. Okay, and I'm just putting that out there. The money, you know, as a demonologist, you know, my pockets are always empty.
Okay?
So you can send your donations too. No. But, you know, I don't regret it at all, because when I, you know, left being an officer for so many years, so many other doors opened up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I can spend this time, you know, writing the books and educating people, you know, talking on the radio shows, helping the people, you know, all over the world,
right?
You know, with their hauntings, with, you know, their children's issues in the paranormal, you know, the local law enforcement with the crime cases. You know, I even get from publishing companies, you know, these letters, and they don't understand what it is, and it has all these symbols on it, and they're all, everybody in the office in the publishing places are tweaking. They don't know if they're being, you know, hexed or cursed or what it is, and they send all this stuff to me, and then I, you know, tell them exactly what each of these things mean. And, you know, so I mean, you know, it's a 24-hour job, and you got to be willing to sacrifice a lot to do that. And I sacrificed, you know, a really good paycheck, and I don't regret it at all.
Right. Now, a lot of people would probably say, you know, commend you for that. And then others would probably say, well, you're a damn fool.
Well, poopy on them.
Right?
Poopy on them because,
Right?
you know, I'm here to help.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. You know, I think that everybody in the paranormal, I mean, if they had the guts to do what you do, to kind of toss everything up to spirit and say, you know what? I know this is what you want me to do. I know this is what I'm meant to do. Now make it happen. I think
Exactly.
there'd probably be a lot of other happier people in the world. You know, I really do.
Well, you know, one of the things is, you know, no matter what type of job I had in life, you know, I mean, I worked in the medical field, law enforcement, you know, all these different jobs, but it always came back to the paranormal. It always came back to helping people with severe hauntings and demonology cases, things like that. So I finally said, okay, I got it, I got it.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I can identify with that because I know with me it was always coming back to the psychic stuff. It was always coming back to helping people and, you know, tapping into the universal energy. Now, back to your haunted closets book because we got completely off topic.
We usually do when we're together.
Yeah, right? It's two air signs. That's what happens. You know, you just start boop, 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 boop.
But you know what?
Yeah.
This is the first time ever that, you know, on any radio show that I actually really, you know, talk a little more about myself. You know, it's always the demonology work, which is, you know, great, but those cases, true demonic cases are rare. So for your audience and the, you know, for the listeners to actually hear, you know, to kind of get to know me a little,
Oh,
you know,
that's
which I
awesome.
think is really great.
Oh, well, I'm happy that, you know, you have the platform to do that, and you know you're welcome back here anytime. You know, but the thing is I want to just address here real quick, you know, knowing you as I do, and having been on many, 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 oy vey, many radio shows with you, this has been a very unique experience for me, because usually it's you and I sitting in the middle together.
I
And,
know.
you know, I'm sitting here and this whole time I'm thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? You know, and I'm trying not to pull out stock questions.
Well, you know what's funny is you're the one that's usually doing all the talking.
I know.
So this is wonderful because people are actually going to hear me.
I know, Gemini mindset, I always end up taking over. Well, like I said, you know, you're welcome back on here anytime, and I know that we'll be talking again, of course. And I encourage everybody to check out not only Devils and Demonology in the 21st Century, but Katie's other book, Haunted Closets. You do have a few other books out there, I think a couple of regionals that you did, but those can all be found on where?
You can go to Amazon.com. You can go to Barnes and Nobles online or in person at Barnes and Nobles. I think Borders has it. Pretty much all the bookstores online and in person.
Awesome. And
Yeah.
are there any websites that you'd like to throw out there real quick before
Sure. You can reach me or check me out at katieboyd.net.
Cool. And also, you know, if you want to check out any cases from Ghost Quest, you can go to ghostquest.org and you can see some of our case files right there, some of the things that we've done, as well as, you know, some great resources and some free stuff. So go check
Ooh,
it
free
out.
stuff.
Yeah, everybody loves free. Free's a good price, especially in the paranormal, because you're broke.
A lot.
A lot.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you for coming. You know, I love talking to you. I always have. And, you know, I know that, like I said, we'll be doing this again fairly soon, I'm sure, because you've always got a ton of things going on. And I look forward to more talks with you in the future. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
No problem.
And you have a great night.
You too.
Right, bye-bye. All right, that was Katie Boyd, demonologist, occult sciences expert, and author. Now, tune in next week as we have Tracy Watkins coming on. She runs the Dollhouse. The Dollhouse is a house that houses
dolls.
Big surprise. But these dolls are not your typical dolls. These are haunted dolls. A few years ago, her and her husband decided that they wanted to find out whether or not spirits would latch on to inanimate objects. And so they began their journey and started collecting haunted dolls. They now have, I believe, about 4 or 5, and a new recent addition who is a male doll. So I can't wait to talk to her next week. She'll be bringing with her some EVPs and talking about her live dollhouse cams and much more. So stay tuned for next week. Thanks for listening.